I heard a story this past week. I was reading about the history of the Welsh Revival. I've heard the term, I've read about it in the past, little clips and pieces about this incredible time, 113, 14 years ago, that swept that part of the world and really all over the world. And I've read about it and heard about the Asbury Revival, and other people have talked about times of revival. I understand the Welsh Revival, there's a 26-year-old preacher who was a student, and he was called to preach, and he went to the church was packed, and according to the story that I heard, when the preacher came in, all he could do was go to the front and pray. According to the story, he prayed for 3 hours. Then he got up and he preached for 15 minutes. There was such a hunger for God. There was such a desire to connect with God that maybe as they were used to doing things wasn't important. People were hungry for God. We've been studying, focused on the armor of God now for several weeks. We've been focused on the tools that help us to live a genuine life, a Christian life, vibrant, real. A life that's genuinely connected to the Spirit of God. Jesus had said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. And he wants to give us the tools that we need to make that happen. The armor of God are those tools, some of those tools. Last Sunday, we focused on the helmet of salvation and the shoes of the gospel of peace. From the top of the head to the bottom of our feet, God has something to help us to carry out and to live out the Christian life. Thought about the helmet of salvation. Knowing who you are in Christ, knowing what salvation means and the promises of God, knowing God's grace, knowing God's mercy, understanding what it means that Christ comes in and makes us clean and makes us new again. The power of God in salvation. The helmet of salvation, how important that is to each one of us. And then Satan will try to discourage us and fill our minds with doubts. And God gives us that helmet to help us to be strong. And then there's the shoes of the gospel of peace. Where everywhere you go, God's plan is for you to take him with you. Take his story with you. into every relationship, into your life, into the workplace, into your home, into school, into the community. Every step you take, the shoes of the gospel of peace to me represent God saying, I want you to take me with you. We all have the potential, if we're wearing the full armor of God and we have on the shoes of the gospel of peace, to know that it's God wants us to take him with us everywhere. And we have that circle of influence. We have a certain number of people around us that the power of the gospel can touch if we allow that to happen. And that's important enough to our lives. Everywhere we go, we have the potential to leave our footprints for God. The gospel is powerful. And God gives us that responsibility and that privilege to carry the gospel if we have the armor of God on. If we take up the full armor of God and we wear it, the shield of faith a few weeks ago, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How important your faith is that you nurture it. It's not something that's dead, but your faith must be living and active and connecting to the presence of God. And the belt of truth, and the sword of the Spirit, and the breastplate of righteousness, all of these are incredible together. The armor of God can help you to live a genuine Christian life and make a difference, to be a fruitful Christian. God wants us to be fruitful and reproduce, meaning that as we live out our faith and we use the tools that God gives us, that he can speak into people's lives by the way that we live and the way that we treat people and by our attitude and our spirit. Together, when we have the armor of God, God gives us strength. It's God's strength. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's not in our strength or our own armor. It's in the armor that God gives us that we can be strong. And there's one more piece, the seventh piece of armor. It's the armor of our relationship with God. It's the armor that connects us directly to the Spirit of the living God in the presence of Jehovah. It's the armor that makes it real and alive and living. It's the piece of armor that takes the other six, and when we put it on, the prayer draws it all together to give us internal strength to be what God calls us to be. You might say that the seventh piece of armor is the internal piece of armor that God gives to every Christian, every believer, that connects us directly to the mighty, mighty power of God. I notice when I read this chapter that this seventh piece of armor, prayer, is the piece of armor that's most fully described. Paul says more about this seventh piece of armor, prayer, than he does the others. He is passionate about it. Paul presents it in this case, in this place, as the final piece of preparation. You might say, one writer said, it's the ongoing piece of armor. They all are, but in a sense, the armor of prayer is that ongoing strength that God can give you and make you and shape you and form who you are and what you believe and what your worldview is when we're connected to a living God. The purpose of prayer is to connect us to a living God, not a God who's on a shelf or in a book somewhere, but a God that wants relationship with those that he made. Prayer gives us that opportunity to be connected to him and hear from him and hear his heart and hear his spirit. With the armor of prayer, we have received a life-giving tool, a life-ongoing tool, to help us to continually be connected to the mighty power that's found in verse 10, the dynamite power of God. Prayer is that piece of armor that helps us to keep connected, keep all the pieces together, and stand firm, as Paul writes. Stand firm. Read with me again, if you want to, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, I'm going to read the entire passage of the armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And verse 18, the seventh piece of armor, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all of God's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Why prayer? Why is prayer the seventh piece of armor and so important to who we are spiritually? What is it about prayer that God would say to us is so important in your toolbox as a Christian? So much so that you can't make it without that. You cannot be a strong Christian without understanding why prayer is so important. Prayer is important to your strength as a Christian. I'm not saying that you can't come to a faith in Jesus and have an assent to Him without developing a prayer life. I'm saying that prayer is the avenue by which you become deeper as a Christian. And it becomes real in your heart and in your spirit. Deeper and deeper, and you understand and you hear God and you know what God is saying. Prayer is a connection to that God who hears you, who cares about you. Somehow, this almighty, infinite, eternal God hears our hearts, our prayers, and He responds to them. Our prayers affect God because He chooses to allow that to happen. Our prayers affect God. Our prayers have an impact on something in the relationship between this infinite, eternal, creative God. Somehow this amazing creative God makes Himself known to us. He comes down to us in prayer. He offers Himself in a personal relationship in prayer. He says, I will come to you and I will listen to you. And if you will respond to me, I will respond to you. Somehow this amazing God makes Himself known. He also makes Himself available to each one of us. When we pray, God is able in His infinite being to put aside everybody else's voice and hear ours. And He does that for every single one of us. No matter who you are, the Bible says that if you call out to Him, He will answer you. When we come nigh to God, He will come nigh to us. When we approach God, and let us do it reverently, Hebrews says, when we approach God, God steps toward us. The new expression I've heard many times and I like it is God leans into us and we lean into Him when we pray. It's like here's this awesome, infinite, eternal God and here we are, and somehow when we lean to Him, He's already leaning to us. His ear is there. He's listening. He's waiting. He's watching. He wants to connect to us. How is it that this amazing God wants to connect to us? This is the story of the personality and the identity of God. He wants to connect to you. He cares deeply
about you and what you feel and what you think and what your will is and what you choose. This amazing infinite God connects to that, and he's able to do that, and he wants to do that. He offers himself. He offers a kindredness with us. He offers a family. It's called that throughout the scriptures. Our heavenly Father. The disciples said to Jesus, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And Jesus' first words, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Just from that, we should hear the heart of God, that he desires to have a father relationship with us. He wants to hear us and know us. There's a belongingness in prayer. When we pray and our hearts are seeking God and we're talking or we're listening, we are expressing a belongingness with God, that I belong to him in relationship and he belongs to me. He has committed himself in relationship to me. Prayer is a connection to God. Prayer is also important because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The reality of life, the reality of the consequences of sin, the reality of pain and betrayal, the reality of hatred in our world, the reality of ugliness and nastiness are all evidence, clearly seen evidence that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a battle going on. There is a war that is being waged. There is something going on more than just our relationship with God. God has allowed for a time there to be this warfare going on. I don't understand exactly why. I don't, and probably many of you haven't quite figured that out either, and maybe we never will, but we know for a time God allows this stuff. He allows hurt in your life. He allows, I don't understand why he does, but somehow in God's infinite nature, he allows the evil to continue to exist in this world, in this day, until a time will come and he's going to bring it to an end. And in the meantime, he gives us the armor of God and says, "I give this to you to have that and to hold on to that and wear that armor." And even that term, be victorious in the midst of life's troubles and problems and struggles. Somehow Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." He knows that we have an enemy out there. He knows that he is a liar. He's a liar from the beginning, Jesus said. Standing against the liar is part of the strength that God wants to give us. And when you go through the most nightmarish time of your life, I want you to know that God wants to give you the strength to stand firm against the enemy of your soul. When you go through hard times, know that God wants you to find the strength, his strength, not your own, so that you can stand up to the devil's schemes. The devil, Satan, he's a real being. Some people think of him as this fictitious, imaginary, red-caped, carrying a pitchfork being. I'm not sure about all that, but I do know that he's absolutely real, and he comes in different costumes. Sometimes it's very evident, the schemes of Satan in our world. They're more evident in times and places where people have no faith in Jesus. But in other places and times, Satan has to work behind the scenes a lot harder. He's an unseen enemy, but yet we can see the evil that takes place. He is evilness. He is destructive. He is a murderer from the beginning. He wants to destroy every single person in their relationship with God, body and soul. He's roaming about. The Bible tells us that somehow Satan is going freely to and fro the earth, and he's looking for someone to devour. He's looking at people and trying to find that place where he can land with his hook, with his flaming arrows here, and try to put them in and to destroy. He has certain powers, but he doesn't have more power than Jesus. And when we take Jesus at his word and his Holy Spirit and the armor of God, Satan is no match for the armor of God when we wear it and put it on. Satan is no match. When you stand firm in your faith, Satan will run. When you stand firm in what is right and what is true, Satan will run. He's got certain abilities and powers today, but he's already been defeated. He's still kicking. He's still fighting. Somehow God allows that to happen. And somehow in God's purpose, he allows that to continue, but someday it will come to an end. He is a schemer. He insinuates evil. He directly brings evil. He's sending flaming arrows. This picture that Paul gives us is just amazing of the Roman soldier and how vivid it is. How Satan is taking those arrows out and he's looking for somebody and he's shooting and he's trying to find someone that doesn't have the shield up or somebody whose breastplate isn't quite on yet, doesn't have the shoes of the gospel of peace. He's trying to find a place to send his arrow into you. He's trying to find that place of doubt. He's trying to find that place of temptation. He's trying to find that place where you about had enough and you're going to give up. And wherever you're at, Satan is trying to attack you. He's trying to get past your armor. He's trying to find that vulnerable place. And so prayer is so important, because prayer is the thing that holds that armor together. Prayer gives you vision. When you are praying and seeking God's Spirit and you are hearing from God, whether it's verbal or whether it's through his word or through the word of someone else, however God speaks to you, when you're listening to God, it's like the arrows that are coming your way, you're going to see them different. You're going to see them for what you are. Genuine prayer that's deep and humble and seeking God will help you to see the arrows that Satan sends your way. It's like having God's eyesight when you're connected to God in relationship. And I don't mean through formality and through saying a prayer that just is a rote memory. But when you speak your heart to God, God will show you things that you will not hear or catch or see until you quiet yourself before God. That song is so precious. We sang it earlier. Sang it part of it last week, turn your eyes upon Jesus. How important it is to keep looking at him. Another song that comes to my mind is Be Still and Know That I Am God. When you're still and you're quiet, then you hear who God is. You hear that he's real and that he can help you, that he can speak to you. We need that quietness before God. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. God promises the Holy Spirit to every believer. God promises you when you become a believer that he gives you the Holy Spirit. It's not like he just gives it to certain people or a certain age or certain education or anything like that. When you open your heart to Jesus, he gives you the Holy Spirit. And then it's up to you to connect to that Holy Spirit. It says here in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Have you thought often about what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Pray with your heart fully worshiping who God is. Pray, whether it's a 30 seconds or 3 hours, whether it's a prayer you've said before or it's new in your heart or your spirit, understand that when you're praying in the strength of the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. Pray in the Spirit, in relationship, in expectation, in anticipation, in the community of you and God. There's another term that is used a lot, community. I want to say that prayer is the community of you and God. See, some things about our faith we share with everyone else around us in the body of Christ, in the church. And part of what we have from God is just for us. And there's something about prayer that's both. It's something about connection with people, those that are on the journey alongside of us, but it's also something about prayer that's so important for us to hear, and that is it's community directly with God. You see, we don't have an intermediary except for the Holy Spirit himself, the very person of God. So when we pray, we're not praying through a high priest. We're not praying through a teacher, a parent, a pastor, a spouse, a sibling. When we pray, we're praying in a community that God hears us. I'm so thankful today that God hears my prayer and hears your prayer. The community. It's like a little family, just you and God. Like I said, and then there's a certain aspect about all the community. That's important too. But prayer is a community between you and God. So when you pray, think about God as being in that circle of your community and the opportunity you have to speak your heart and to hear his voice, and he'll speak to you. I'm about halfway done today, so I'm going to stop now. And Lord willing, I'm going to come back and pick up right here with the community of prayer with God in 2 weeks. Next week, I believe the Woodley family from New Guinea will be here. And Sunday following, unless I feel different at the time, I'm going to pick back up with the meaning and the importance of prayer in 2 weeks. Would you stand, please? Oh God, I thank you for the power of prayer. I thank you for the place of prayer. I thank you, God, for the community of prayer we have with you when we pray in the Spirit. I pray, God, that maybe for the next 2 weeks as I think about and invite this group of people to think about what it means to be community of prayer with God, that we would see you as that personal God who cares deeply and can equip us for the battles in our lives, I pray. Thank you for the armor of God. Thank you for every piece of it. May God, we put it on and put it on fully, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. God bless.